Welcome back to the Broadway Block. Wednesday night, we got a fun episode. Rangers clinch at 100 points. First team in the NHL. Gotta love it. Seems like we've climbed out of the adversity train 10 times this season. We still are with the defense, you know, not having Trouba and Lindgren back, but, you know, hopefully get them back before the playoffs. And then Zach Jones coming out of nowhere. Looks like some of the deadline boys are going to like really work out for us, especially, you know, everybody seemed to hit the panic button on that first line right winger. And it seems like Jack Roslovic is really filling in nicely there. And then it's nice to see the Rangers actually have some depth, you know, be able to scratch people on healthy scratches just because and play matchups over than, you know, just being forced to play somebody because they're NHL ready. And that's who we got. What did you like about last night's game and this season?
Well, I mean, obviously you like the way we battle back. It's kind of one of those, like, it's very messy, take the points, move on type of games. But, you know, when you're watching it, there's a brief part of me that feels like, God, the Flyers really could just completely flub the start of the season that they had and just drop out of playoff contention. I mean, they score another goal and they keep it interesting. And, you know, it makes you realize like they can kind of hang out. And we talked with John about how each team kind of has an argument where you can see where they would make it really far in the playoffs. And, you know, it's so wide open that teams like that will drag you.
And they got a point what they needed. They needed at least a point to survive. So,
right. Which obviously I like our chances on paper against a team like the Flyers. I'm not, you know, alluding to them being like a dark horse for the cup, but yeah, you like the way that the team battles back in that situation for sure. I think to touch on your point, the team looks so deep. I mean, every single person is contributing and, you know, to see Trouba making strides, getting healthy is great. So yeah, I mean, we have some games in hand, 10 more left in the season. You know, we were in first place for many points during the season, you know, so it's not that weird that, you know, we're the first team to clinch and that we've held on to first overall and that we've been, you know, a top five team, let's call it, for, you know, many months of the season. I remember in the beginning of the year, we play the Bruins and we beat them to take first overall from them. And it felt like such a pivotal time. I want to say it was like a 7-4 game. It's such a statement time. You know, then we also hit the first team to hit 40 wins over the course of the season. And now being the first team to clinch and to hit 100, it's very fitting. Like it fits the arc of this year. And it's like from the outside looking in, I think people have been quick to comment. Like the other day, someone was like, the Rangers suck. It was like on one of our posts, like, dude, we're in first place in the whole league. Like it's incredible.
Well, it's sky's falling attitude or whatever you wanted to make it out to be, because, you know, you can look at the MSG counterparts of the New York Knicks. Like they're going to make it in the playoffs. Like if they had a bad couple last games, maybe they go to the play-in, but they're going to be a team that you don't want to play the first round, kind of similar to what the Rangers have been in previous past years. Not like this year where we're expected to get some wins, expected not to be out in the first or even the second round. It's like, if anything, minimum late playoff round exit. And the boys now clicking. Shesterkin, he got over the funk after the All-Star break. It just feels kind of like the vibes from that long playoff run we pushed and lost to Tampa in the Eastern Conference Finals when we weren't there, like where we just couldn't lose a game that year. The vibes are back to that. Like I watching the third last night, every goal, every time the Flyers tied it up, I was like, just to keep it interesting. Because I just had that feeling like the Rangers were just going to push through in that game. And it's funny that you brought up the Boston Bruins where we overtook them for points, because after that tough Jets loss about 3 or 4 games ago, we played the Bruins our next game and we kind of dominated them. And it was great to see, because that game at the beginning of the season, Pasternak got kind of like hot-headed. Remember, he hit Lindgren into the boards and kind of like got him injured there. So it was great to kind of see them and pass them again in points. And then two big wins against two playoff contenders, definitely could make it far rounds with the Panthers and then maybe the Flyers, as you say, as a juggernaut. And then we got the Avs tomorrow night. So that's great to see. So what do you think the forecast is for the Rangers now? Like, the Canes are 3 points behind us. Does that matter, or do we care that if we drop out of that first position?
Well, so Laviolette touched on this, and I was thinking about it a lot. Just, you know, the build up to the show, like stuff to talk about. One of the things that, you know, John touched on last week that I think is true is that it's really easy to sort of convince yourself that, like, oh, we want this team. And I remember last year specifically, we were kind of all talking about, like, I don't really want to play the Devils first round. You know, it seems like a tough matchup for us. I would rather play somebody like the Canes, for example. So, you know, I think we kind of last year knew what was coming in a matchup with the Devils. And once we got off to a really good start, we kind of sold ourselves the opposite way, where we're like, oh, right, we're a much better team, obviously. And then look what happened. So I try to not put too much, you know, thinking into the matchup, but it's hard not to, because, you know, now that we have a few games left in the year, we can kind of look at it like, oh, okay, if things were to end right now, if we fell into second place, you know, it would look like the Flyers. We briefly touched on this already, but the Flyers could also just drop out because the Capitals have been surging. Ovechkin's got, like, you know, I know you have him on your fantasy team, so you probably have a better idea of how many times he's been scoring over the last few weeks. But, I mean, the team is surging in the right direction, and they, I believe, are a point or two behind the Flyers right now. So that would probably be the best situation, is to play a team like the Capitals or the Flyers, or a team that we outmatch. But again, you don't want to ask for that, because this team is getting hot right at the right times, and they could be the biggest threat to us.
And even this season, they've been kind of a tough matchup for us.
Right. And then, you know, if that doesn't happen, we hold on to first, it would look like, if nothing changes, you know, everything kind of just stays the way it is, it would be either the Bolts, which we know how that could go. Could probably be a 7-game series, and it could
take a lot out of us.
100%. Or you have the Red Wings, who, minus maybe Patrick Kane burning us almost every game, I'm not too afraid of either. So, I mean, I guess it comes down to how other teams perform. We really can't control it. I don't think you can try to, like, sandbag points and try to manipulate standings at all in our position right now. But, I mean, who would you prefer out of the teams we mentioned?
Well, I kind of liked what John said last week about that, because I do remember that Ottawa series, and I remember it was tough. Like, I was in my early 20s, and I was just, like, drinking a lot at the bar, and I remember watching it and being like, just like, this could be bad for us. So I don't want to say anyone, but, like, definitely not the Lightning. I can tell you who I don't want to play is probably, that's where I'm like, double-edged sword. If we drop out of first and we have to play the Flyers, I feel like we match up better against them, and then meet the Canes maybe in the second round. But I just don't want to play Tampa that first round. I feel like we can beat this Capitals team. Would it be a struggle? Would I prefer to play the Caps over the Lightning? Definitely, but I know that would be a grudge match. Do I think we could out prevail in the grudge match? Yes. Fun note, Mika March has kind of slowly started. Obviously, it's not like the Mika Marches we've seen in previous years. Do you think that's just how Mika is, especially with the kind of down year he's been having? For me, I feel like at least he's getting goals. He's moved up on that all-time Rangers power play goal list at number 5, right behind Chris Kreider. I think, for me, keep getting hot right now and roll into the playoffs.
Yeah, it's nice to see Mika come alive. I mean, I just saw a stat with Panarin and Trocheck in last line leading in 5-on-5 goals across the league. And it's not a surprise to me now that, you know, Mika started to pick up the pace a little bit, because, you know, the other lines have just been producing so much that I've always kind of felt that way about Mika, that he, once someone else around him starts to produce really well, even if they're not on the same line, that's how you're going to get the most production out of him. It's nice to see him starting to click. It's nice to see that line that I just mentioned, the Panarin line. I mean, Panarin himself is having a fantastic season, but it's so cool to watch the effect that it's having on guys like Trocheck and Laf. And I mean, look out for Lafreniere, because we talked about Ovechkin starting to light it up as it comes down the stretch to playoff time. Lafreniere, we have seen, have some nice success in the playoffs. And once he gets some chemistry with the line, how much impact a guy like him can have when he's.
And we're seeing more 2-goal games out of Laf this year. Yeah. Like, I'm ready to hit that hat trick button for Laf. Like, I think that's next year. We're definitely going to see a couple hatties out of him.
When you look at the team, we've talked about the depth. As many times as I can count throughout my tenure as a Rangers fan, there's always been a question mark. Who's in goal? The backup? Can we get a seventh defenseman? I don't see any of that. If you look down the lineup, there's no real glaring holes right now. And given the fact that a guy like Hedl, someone who is not a Rangers fan, asked me, you know, like, to quantify the loss. And it's like, you know, like, maybe a wide receiver too or something like that. Like, it's pretty big to lose that guy. And then to have the production just in-house already, and to never really had looked back. You know, the way that Trocheck stepped into that role was such a hugely pivotal point in the season. I mean, if we win the cup, that's 10 minutes of the 30 for 30 is talking about Hedl and him going down and Trocheck taking over. So, you know, it's such a weird thing to kind of look back at some of the adversity that we've already gone through with losing guys like Fox and Shesterkin, Lindgren, Trouba. I mean, that's the better part of your top six on defense and, you know, your number one goalie, the story that Quick has been in his addition to the Rangers. So it's really been a special year so far. And it's hard for me to find a spot in this team where, like you said, there's now the weakness of the right wing on the top line is starting to kind of be covered up a little bit. So yeah, it's interesting, man. I want to pick the team apart and pick a spot where we can kind of improve on, but it's hard to find those areas when you're literally statistically the best team in the league right now. And it's been showing in your resiliency to not leave points on the table when you're coming down the stretch, not a completely healthy team yet, and still finding ways to win each and every night.
Couple of fun things. One point that I felt like you missed right there was also the coach. We always have had these questionable coaches with their lineups, even with AV. Like, and I've just loved what Laviolette's done all season. He's been calm. He's answered all the questions in the presser. It doesn't matter. He seems like he's ready to battle any adversity train out there that would come up. So it feels like to me the pivotal role in the first round exit last season was that Gallant didn't really pivot once, you know, Ruff stuck Akir Schmidt out there. There was really nothing, no change. He just felt like, you know, we were going to will our way into those last couple wins, and for it didn't happen. So I just feel like Laviolette is much better in the driver's seat there, where he's definitely going to be making the right calls, the tough calls. Another point that was cool I saw after last night's game was Hank was breaking it down, and the Adam Fox game-winning overtime goal. He talked about Adam Fox's shot, and I thought it was really cool because even he's noticed that he just looks like if he has an opportunity, he doesn't mind shooting. And the way he just snaps the puck, it looks better and better every time he does it. So that's been really great to see. I feel like also another point is the power play, like visually, I feel like it's been better than it has been even in that winning period in February. And I feel like it still could get a lot better, but I feel like it's headed in the right direction.
Well, I mean, like Fox has been, talk about when the captain goes down, your playing partner in Ryan Lindgren goes down, there's already so much expected of, you know, an assistant captain, a Norris Trophy candidate, you know, list goes on for Adam Fox. But I agree with Hank 100%. I agree with you 100% that the way he's been shooting the puck this year, if we were to take all of them and, you know, layer them over the top of each other, they would all look really similar the way that he just kind of skates directly through from the blue line straight at the net, pauses and just freezes everybody, because everyone knows that if he chooses to dish it to somebody, they're going to be wide open. It's going to be right in their tape, and that's going to be the game.
And it's going to come in hot.
Right. So, and it's coming from like Mika or Panarin or Kreider. So people give him the respect he deserves. And I think in doing so, he can freeze a lot of people up, and they don't anticipate that shot. I mean, we've been saying this basically ever since we saw Fox play for the Rangers, that we would love to see him kind of step up. And I think because he doesn't have that big, like, booming clapper, that we don't really see it as much. But his wrist shot's super deceptive. He can really choke people and kind of handcuff them and make them play one way or the other. So I think it's about 4 goals in his last 5 games. So it's nice to see him getting rewarded for it, because you know that he's going to step up into those opportunities and actually fire the puck on net. And these are just the goals we're talking about. I mean, not considering how many times we've cashed in just because he's putting a puck on net, which, you know, obviously sounds cliche, but it's one of the Rangers' like biggest weaknesses, is putting more pucks on net and getting more volume out there. So,
well, also, I think it's kind of been nice, like, obviously not cool with the injuries to Trouba and Lindgren, but seeing what we have with Ruedel has been nice. And you're not seeing anything flashy, but it's like your dad kind of just gave you that old car in the driveway that just always runs and, you know, is going to get you to where you need to go. And that's kind of what Ruedel has been since he's filled in there. But then Zach Jones has really come up as the seventh defenseman now, I would say. And he's been, I feel like he tried to kind of be like a junior Adam Fox, I guess would it be what I would say. And now I kind of feel like he's found his own game. You know, he's in the offensive zone when he has to be, but he's not there overstepping or staying too long or getting caught up where he gets beat. And I feel like his defensive game, whatever, going down to Hartford for a while, really made his defensive game stronger, where he doesn't get beat on like easy plays as much or get caught missing the puck behind him.
You know, it's funny because I thought about this the other day also. Do we have a player development problem, or did we just have a series of character problems? Because it seems like the people that we have on the team now, the Zach Jones, the Philip Hedels of the world, that have gone down and kind of, you know, taken their lessons in stride, and, you know, the Will Cooleys.
I was about to say Will Cooley.
Yeah, and the Johnny Brodzinskis and the people that have kind of just accepted that it is part of the game. Don't forget, we waived Johnny Brodzinski in the like middle of the season, beginning of the season, and he cleared waivers, and now he's a pretty...
He wasn't even supposed to play last night, and he steps up and he gets a goal.
Yeah, and he's a pretty important part of the team right now. So, you know, it reminds me with guys like, you know, Kravtsov, and the list goes on. The Leafs.
Yeah, Andersons. But look at where those guys are now. They're not even in the league, half of them.
Yeah, and, you know, to kind of draw that back a little bit further, like, we remember JT Miller kind of like, you know, character development issues or whatever, and then kind of blossoms into the great player that, you know, a lot of us knew was always there. And I thought about it the other day, like, have we just drafted a bunch of, you know, like young kids with like kind of some attitude, and now,
and even Nils Lundqvist, I'm not mad at Nils Lundqvist, because we talked about it on last week's episode that like with this defensive pairings that we got set up, that like there's no room to be on the getting that first ice time power play like that you want. So shipping him off, and we actually got a good return for him, really didn't hurt us.
No, you're right, and it's hard because while I understand it, and you know, I've recently moved on from a job where the career opportunities above me weren't exactly something that I thought would be interesting. And, you know, moving on to a different career opportunity, it's like, you can't really fault somebody for just doing what they feel like is best for them, you know, in a way. But it is funny to look at some of these guys that have just kind of bided their time and, you know, taken their lumps and learned their lessons, kind of now applying it, and they're starting to see the success from it. So it's funny because I feel like the Rangers specifically, we always get tagged as like, you know, we can't develop players. You know, look at you now, like look at a lot of these guys now performing at an NHL level.
Well, it's just like, you know, all we are outsiders with opinions. You know, we don't really know what's going on, nor does anybody really know what's going on. And these players that come over, are they expected to play? Do they not play? And sometimes they don't even know. So I do feel for some of these younger players, especially with the language barriers, not really knowing where you're headed. But for me, it's like you signed up for the job, you do whatever the job is in front of you.
Yeah, and to come full circle on what you're talking about with some of the contributions from some of these guys, I mean, like, the list can go on. Like, the fun thing about Rangers hockey right now is that you can say this for almost every player. Like, and how about Jimmy Vesey? And
you know, yeah, there's so many good storylines. Yeah. You go back and the full circle, like, all these Goodrow haters are going to eat it in the playoffs because he's going to show up big, big, big shot. Goodrow is going to have like a big time goal in the playoffs. And then everyone's going to be like, what? Like, he came through, like, because that's what big time players do. And even though he's aging out, obviously bad contract for what it was. But I can think of so many times Goodrow this last season and this season has bailed us out. And like I said, maybe he's not got that much in the tank. But you'll see another great storyline. Shesterkin, quick, Rangers fan. The list goes on and on.
It's easy to kind of love a lot of the storylines. So, I mean, yeah, it's fun when, you know, your team's winning, your team is good, and there's a good palpable energy. I think watching the team is fun. Watching the way that the team interacts with each other is fun. And I think we're poised to have another deep run so long as, you know, we stay healthy, and we're getting healthier now. We're getting contributions throughout our whole entire lineup. So, I mean, sky's the limit as far as what this team could accomplish. 10 games left. You have to try to not change anything. It's easier said than done, but I think this is where you can start to enter, like, you know, let's just stay safe mode. And ironically, that's kind of when you get injured. So, you know, kind of wish we could just fast forward through these next couple of games, but you know, there's going to be some exciting moments. Like you alluded to, we got an exciting matchup coming up against the Avs, and, you know, maybe a preview of what a potential finals situation could look like. But
Steve, thank you again. Let's go Rangers, and let's stay healthy, everybody.
Yeah. Let's go Rangers.